Welcome to the Software Outsourcing Show, brought to you by Accelerance, the global software outsourcing authority. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. My name is Bobby Durrell. I'm your host. And joining me in the studio today, I have Steve Mizak and Andy Hilliard, both founders of Accelerance, Inc. Steve, Andy, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks.
Pretty darn good. Great.
That's good. Hey, I was wondering if you guys, you know, on the show we talk a lot about software outsourcing and everything that, you know, those challenges, those opportunities that exist there, the kind of got yous. We try to help people, you know, learn from some of the mistakes that we've made. And so I thought, you know, it'd be kind of good to start a little bit with your background. Steve, how about, let's start with you. How did you get into software outsourcing? How
long
have
you been doing this? Well, way back when... I was a co-founder at a startup company, and I was the first technical guy. And I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to hire developers. We'll get T-shirts. We'll develop some great code. And the very first day, the CEO, who had been working on this idea for several months, said, we're going to outsource. Out what? I didn't know what he was talking about. This was 1991. And in fact, he had found a company, a small company here in the States, that had developed software similar to what we needed. And so it made perfect sense to essentially outsource to them to get the job done for version 1.0. And fast forward about 7-8 years, I started working with developers from India, from Russia. The internet, of course, had come about in the meantime, and it became very practical and very cost effective to use these really expert developers that were offshore. And so that's why I started Accelerance, to help American companies have much more confidence and reliable help in getting to these good developers out there.
Okay, awesome. Andy, how about you? What's a little bit of your story there?
Well, back in the late 80s, I was a Peace Corps volunteer and an international business major. And coming back from the Peace Corps in Costa Rica and going through graduate school, I sort of ran into the mid-90s when the internet and software took off. I remember AOL being sold and in my dormitory. So I went into both international sales and marketing and global software development through Cognizant. They were just a spinoff of Dun & Bradstreet and 700 of the smartest Indian guys from IIT. And I was one of the first division managers being hired in the United States. So they quickly grew to 15,000 over 3 years. Today, they're 250,000. And I left them after 3 years, went to Costa Rica and started a software services firm to deliver nearshore software development services. And after about a year, I ran into Steve and I loved his model and what he was writing about at global software delivery. And fast forward about 6 years later, I sold my shares of my company and teamed up with Steve to create Accelerance to deliver global software to the small and mid-cap market.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot of time in the software outsourcing space. What do you think about the state of software outsourcing today? Where do you think we are? I'll throw that out to either one of you.
Well, it's become, I think, the standard. I think so many, In the early days, many American executives outsourced purely to save money. I think in the Silicon Valley startup software engineering world, it was never about that. It was always to get great talent, smart people. It wasn't about driving cost out. It was just getting the job done. And I think that has become the more of the norm now. Yeah, there's still a lot of IT outsourcing and big companies those big companies in order to drive down costs. But, you know, that's not what we're about, and that's not what most software engineering and software development teams are about either.
So it's really not a cost play. It's more about just getting the job done.
That's it. I think so. And it's so difficult to hire developers these days here in the States. And I think that's been a big change we've seen. It's had its ups and downs over the years, but it's really a serious issue today.
Gotcha. And so, Andy, how about you? Where do you think we are? Are we trending up toward outsourcing? Or are we maybe leveling off? Where are we there?
I think we're definitely trending up with outsourcing, assuming that countries are still willing and able to trade internationally with, you know, open borders and the ability to leverage teams and individuals and skill sets around the world. You know, I think almost 20 years ago, Thomas Friedman wrote The World is Flat. And to Steve's point, that accentuates the point that there are great developers and great development teams and companies elsewhere. Yes, they can be had for typically less money than the developed countries, but realistically, it's all about getting the work done and finding, you know, great teams with the right culture and the right skill sets and capabilities to deliver what you're trying to accomplish.
And how is you know, technology, some of the new technologies that we have out there with video chat, internet calling, those things how has that kind of impacted the software outsourcing? It seems like it's made the world smaller, but has that worked in outsourcing as well? Has that improved, given us some gains?
It's made it better. It hasn't solved all the problems, but clearly being able to communicate real time and use FaceTime and not FaceTime product necessarily, but just, you know, real time video collaboration. And it bridges the cultural gaps and allows people to understand better across languages and across cultures by leveraging body language and clarifying terms with people in real time. And I think also just the nature of media that continues to share cultures and languages across borders allows people to start to understand each other better. Again, it doesn't solve all the problems because you're still located in a different country and you grow up with different norms. And so you still have to work on that. But I think it has definitely accelerated and improved collaboration.
In terms of specific tools, we've been using Zoom video call for video calls a lot, and Skype on occasion as well. But I think just to build on what Andy said, and software development is a creative human activity, and it really shows that these developers are not strangers in another country in a strange land. They're real people, right? You know, with families and whatnot, and they're really great at doing software development. They're smart people everywhere. So being able to make that connection more easily has been great. However, it's not a replacement for actually visiting and physically getting together. And in business critical application development, that's still highly recommended, at least quarterly in those scenarios.
Right. You still have to have those times to get together and break bread, right?
Right.
There's exactly. Just something about that. So let me tell you, let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we see in the marketplace right now that maybe impacts or drives to software outsourcing. What do you think some of those challenges are that are out there?
Yeah, I think a lot of American software executives have done outsourcing, or they're doing it now, and they've had some ups and downs, and some of them are hesitant to do it again because it's the kind of thing, we tried that 10 years ago and it didn't quite work. And the challenge is that if you're a small company, mid-sized company, you need a team of between five and 50 developers, maybe a little smaller to start, maybe a little bit bigger ultimately. That's still not big enough for the big name brand outsourcing companies who you probably see advertised, for them to care to deal with. So now you're left searching online, asking your brother-in-law, do you know somebody? It takes a lot of time to find those good companies, you know, months of time. And then even when you find one, you may think you know everything about software development, but like I said, it's a complex human activity, and it really requires some extra help. So those are the challenges, that Accelerence is looking to address.
I
would add to that, Steve, also that in interacting with prospects and clients, they keep on telling us that for every 17 open recs they have for software developers, they can only find one good candidate. There's just an over demand and a lack of supply. Mm-hmm. The other thing typically we run into is that companies, especially brick and mortar, but even like ISVs and software companies, you know, their core competency is not the engineering of software. It's the envisioning of intellectual property and the evolution of the intellectual property, and then the promotion and marketing and selling of that to an end audience, but not necessarily that engineering part of the software itself. Yes, you want leadership and ownership of IP and you want a certain level of technical leadership. But it's that whole engineering process that is just not a core competency of any particular company.
Yeah. And is it, I mean, you know, let's talk about all the different technologies out there too today, right? I mean, it seems like every day I wake up and I'm reading about something else. Although I think everyone in the world is doing blockchain right now based
That's
on.
That's right. Yeah. Blockchain with IoT and machine learning. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, do we find that there's segments or pockets of the world, if you will, that are up on different types of technology, maybe that we're not up on, or is it just a matter of being able to spread your virtual wings and embrace more technology? Or,
well, you every company, you know, has a need to be lean and to be smart.
Right.
And the only way you can be lean and smart is to focus on what you're really good at. And because technologies are changing and capabilities and requirements change for every company, you know, they need to go out and find it without actually owning it, because owning it is a whole nother business line. Mm-hmm. And that requires infrastructure and costs and processes to own that business line. And is that your real business? So, With things changing like that, you need to have models. Just like, you know, companies are deciding not to own a lot of infrastructure or real estate. Is that really core to their company? Can they be distributed? Can they be leaner and focus that savings around being better or more competitive? The same with software development. It's like don't own something that's just going to change, and you shouldn't be owning it in the first place. You kind of find it somewhere else and have someone who's a real expert who's just has a center of excellence around that. And they're going to be a better solution than you could ever be yourself.
I think the other angle to your question, Bobby, is about, are there certain regions of the world that are more known for certain technologies than others? And we have seen this a little bit. I think in general, Asian companies are great at the scripting languages and some of the more common technologies, certainly .NET and PHP, things like that. When you start to get into more sophisticated user interfaces, though, user experience design and whatnot, culturally it's too different for them to design an interface that appeals to a Western or an American, North American audience. However, the Latin American companies, countries, and their culture is much closer to ours and European culture. So they have a better sense of North American culture and the user interfaces that would appeal to the market. And then finally, Eastern Europe has a very strong legacy of universities and engineering and math education at the universities of the former Soviet republics. And Russia itself now, that more of the advanced technologies, that's where we're seeing more blockchain expertise and machine learning. The more sophisticated algorithms are generally, that's the place to go. Not to say you can't find it in the other places, but it's more common there.
Okay. Well, and you know, Steve, that's a great lead in kind of to the next question I was thinking about. And that's really, you know, What is it about Accelerants that's unique within the software outsourcing space? I mean,
well, I think it's certainly having this global focus. It's not about just outsourcing to any one country. We have independent companies we call our partners in over 30 countries around the world. We have a good sense for what happens, where to go, and what the rates are, so we can take any of the requirements for either business or technical requirements from a client and help direct them very quickly to the partners that best serve their needs. That's the first thing on top of mind. Andy, you want to jump in?
Sure. And also the fact that we send teams around the world and do assessments and certifications on site. Steve just mentioned business and technical, but a lot of it is, do they have the cultural attributes that align well with the expectations of English-speaking clients in the U.S. or Western Europe? And that's a lot of, and that reaches beyond just English competency, but also, you know, are they hiring people that are bilingual, bicultural, travel a lot? Do they have leadership that either has been educated or lived in the U.S., worked in the U.S., so that they are creating an environment that is optimized culturally to deliver services to the U.S. And that I think is, it's not about, you know, having the greatest technical resumes. It's like Steve said at the very beginning of this podcast, it's people working with people and understanding one another and being able to collaborate and get what the other person is saying mm-hmm. without a lot of rework or
misunderstandings. Yeah. And it's not a one-way street either. So it's not like, hey, we only find partners that are just like us Americans. It's we coach American clients as well to say, hey, my most popular blog post over the years has been the 7 ways an Indian programmer says no.
Right.
And I got a lot of flack for this. And, you bigot, you're picking on Indian programmers. And no, I'm telling Americans, look, they're saying, you know, when they say that will be difficult, pretty much means no. And right. you just have to tune your ears to hear it. I mean, speaking of coaching, that's the other thing that's unique. What we found over the years, we found these great partners. We make the introduction. And that for the longest time, that was our business. Now, in the last year or so, we have this really important consulting services to help clients adjust and adopt the right processes to work with these partners effectively. And so that's been a huge benefit to our clients as well.
Right. Because, you know, the thing that we keep coming back to and talking about is really understanding the culture and the people working together, right? The technical skills are the technical skills, but
right.
If you don't understand what it means, I think of one client that we dealt with that had a Russian developer and they were talking about having to do tipping, right? And so, yeah. You know, they didn't understand tipping. They thought, oh, that's a bribe, you know?
Right.
So, trying to, right. You know, wait, you give people extra money just to bring you food? Wait, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Or we had a client in Denver that was using one of our partners in India, and the QA manager scheduled a meeting at 1 p.m. Denver time. It's like, right. It's 3 a.m. in India. Right. You can't, you know, she just didn't have a sense for even the time zone difference, you know? So, but that's an obvious one that can easily be fixed. But anyway.
Well, let me just ask you kind of in wrap up, just one question for fun. Cause I know you've guys, both of you have been all over the world in doing this. So, if you can think of, you know, one of your biggest surprises over the years, just in software outsourcing or travels, if just a short, you know, kind of what's one of the biggest things that you've learned over the years in doing this?
Wow. Well, I guess on a humorous side, we were in Bolivia visiting a partner down there, and the QA manager, we had a little get together, and the QA manager had a red t-shirt on, and it said Bazinga. And I said, does that mean something in Spanish? And she says, no, that's what Sheldon Cooper says on the Big Bang Theory. He's like, oh, duh. You know, it's just the wrong context. I just thought it must be a Spanish word. So that's more of the humorous side. I think, but more seriously, it's the tremendous competency of these developers that we run into, the education that they get. You know, not everybody can develop software. It's just not, it takes a certain aptitude, certain skill, certain mindset, but it's not unique to Americans. It's spread generally uniformly throughout the human population, I'd say. And so, you know, but going into it, you think, oh, you know, all the developers I know are here, so they must, and then all the good ones must already be here. And that's
right.
Not
true. Right.
So Bobby, I would also chime in by saying that our biggest challenge still is trying to convince companies to take the steps to create a true extension or a relationship. Because I still see companies, and maybe that's because they default to this cheaper labor elsewhere in the world, throw stuff over the wall mindset, and it's difficult for them to grasp and to buy into and to get approval from people like CFOs to understand that the cost of bringing people in and sharing your culture, going over to the partner, like Steve says, once a quarter and sharing that culture is a very small cost, which leads to unleashing a lot of potential and in diminishing a lot of the risk.
But it's hard to get that approval because people say like, oh no, it's all about contracts and low pricing and transactional and commodity. But if they get on board with that, what Steve and I and Accelerants recommends is when you go over, you break bread, you create an extension of your team, you treat the contractors or your partner, we don't use the word vendor, like an extension of your organization, and you spend a considerable time looking for not just professional fulfillment through this extension, but personal fulfillment. Go over and visit. You know, when we went to Vietnam, for example, you know, we went out on the Delta and took, you know, boat rides and motorcycle rides, and it allows you to spend time with your partners in non-professional circumstances, getting to know one another and getting to know their families, and then working for each other to make each other successful, as opposed to, you know, making ourselves successful at the cost of the other party.
Right. So it's just like you would do with your colleagues at work when you go out for happy hour or you go out for somebody's birthday. It's that exact same concept, right?
There's still a concept. I think it's been lessening now, but this concept of purchasing department, purchasing process, you know, as if you're going to, would you ever purchase an employee? It's kind of the same thing. And instead of a contract, I mean, yes, there's a legal agreement, but think of it more as a covenant rather than a contract. It's, I think that's a better way to think of a better word for what guides the relationship.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, hey guys, I see we're about to run out of time, and I wanted to thank you both for joining me today. I enjoyed it. Hopefully, you'll come back on a future episode. We'll dive into a couple of more of these topics a little more. You think you're up for that?
Sure.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Well, great. Well, with that, we'll wrap up today's show. And as always, you can find our latest podcast episodes on the softwareoutsourcingshow.com. Feel free to send any questions or comments or suggestions for future topics to podcast@softwareoutsourcingshow.com. And, you know, spread the word and tell a friend to listen. But until next time, Steve, Andy, thanks for joining.
Thanks a lot, Bobby. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Software Outsourcing Show, brought to you by Accelerants, the global software outsourcing authority. Do you have a topic you'd like covered in a future show? Then send us an email at podcast@softwareoutsourcingshow.com. podcast@softwareoutsourcingshow.com. Show notes, links, and materials discussed on today's show may be found on our website at softwareoutsourcingshow.com. That's softwareoutsourcingshow.com.